Blog Talk Radio. Sunday that we've been on the air over the last six seasons, we total up to about a total of, the first broadcast was in June 2014, and we've been doing this. There's been points of time we've taken a lot of time off, you know, just for what was going on in the world and this, that, and the other. But 180 episodes, that's a big achievement. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about checking the boxes and how we choose our leaders. And y'all probably like, okay, Scott, what you talking about? This is primarily about identity politics. What made me want to talk about this morning was that I watched the travesty of Senator Semina and out of Arizona, and how do we continue to elect people not even understanding how they feel about core issues that we care about. How do we continually elect people who are just performing so that we will like them and elect them? We ask no questions. We hold no accountability. All we know is that, ooh, we like this person for this, that, and the other. And a lot of it goes down to who we identify with and how we identify. I know so many people who will only vote for women candidates regardless of how unqualified and out of touch with the policy that they believe in. I watch so many people vote for, particularly African American, vote for other African Americans just because they're black. I watch so many people just vote based on, oh, this person is this. Even when it comes down to stuff as simple as what sorority or fraternity they belong to. But nobody asks the question, well, do they believe, are their policies the same as mine? We just assuming because we either skin folk, kin folk, or like folk, that these people believe the same thing we believe. And there are people out there who are hustling us for power and money, having no intent whatsoever of doing anything for the community other than the basics so that they can climb up a political ladder and become problematic at some point in the future. And we need to really start thinking about that. Are we prepared to continue, excuse me, daylight savings time shift joint got us feeling some type of way. But we have to really sit there and think about, do we know our leaders? And are we just really checking boxes based on the fact of, oh, this is popular at this time, or this particular group needs more support? Are we getting good government out of it? Or are we just checking boxes? I mean, we, as particularly as Democrats, we complain every cycle about how we're not getting what we want out of our elected officials. Every cycle, we have to fight to get people re-energized to vote because they're not getting what they want. And to do that each and every time, we bring some charismatic out who checks the box. You know, do we even look at their policy and ideas? Do we research to see that is this person done any of the work? Do we look and see, you know, what do you, I believe some of us do that, particularly in political spaces. We will look and see that, but the average voter doesn't. And many of you know that I'm not a fan of identity politics, but I've had to play it. And it upsets me that I just can't, you know, and it's rooted in our white supremacy that runs this country. Because everybody feels that if you have to make a stake and position yourself and identify yourself in that construct, in a white supremacist, patriarchal, oppressive system, everybody has to position themselves in this. You know, whether it's, we identify ourselves by faith, gender, do we identify ourselves by sexual orientation? Do we identify ourselves by race? Do we identify, re-identify ourselves by geographical location? We identify, we find so many identifiers so that we can possibly find a seat at the table. Then we compete for position at the table once we get a seat. Because at the end of the day, everybody's either trying to take the head seat, at the end of the table, or they're trying to get in proximity to it. Now I hear some folks are like, we're creating our own tables, but then even if you're creating your own tables, those tables are being created off of some type of ID and are operating in a bubble. There's policy bubbles, ideological bubbles that keep us from connecting with our fellow man and woman in substantive ways that allow us to solve the problems that we have in our society. No one group can solve these problems by themselves, but yet we attempt to because there's power in those silos, at least having attempting to have power over your identity group. And then trying to make your identity group the most dominant identity group. There's power and even money involved in that now. We've monetized this. There are people who make their money from just identifying a particular group of people and pandering to them. But we're still complaining about the type of government we have. Because we have hustlers and charlatans selling us something that we really don't want nor need. I mean, is this what we want? Do we even care that these people are qualified? Do we just want people in position? Because I know that as a black man in the Democratic Party, I might have gotten some attention last cycle And this is because they knew we need to pull every vote we need to pull. So you start talking about it. And this is after we've been hollering and crying and yelling for somebody to pay us attention for at least the last five cycles. Now, if there's an election comes up and it's deemed that they don't need us, they won't talk to us because we are not the checkbox group right now. Black men, because of our proximity to the white man in sense of patriarchy, people really don't want us in the game like that a lot of the time because we have the other identity group that we have to deal with from a gender standpoint is competing with us for power. Right now, Black Boy Joy is competing with Black Girl Magic. And then you break that down into other subcategories of identification, whether or not you are Eidos or immigrant. Are you native? Are you a native of the area you're running in versus a transplant? Even religion plays a part. Even just inside the microcosm of the political environment that is Black America. So think about how complicated it is once you spread that out across the whole group. And the identity politics just isn't played in the Democratic Party. It's played in the Republican Party, too. It just played a little different. What the identity groups over there are different. You know, you're a pro-lifer, pro-2A. Do you back the blue? Are you a Proud Boy? Are you MAGA? You know, are you a moderate? Because see, all of them, you know, the majority of that is based in some type of white supremacy over there. It's just about how far are you willing to go to push that? You know, do you just like the status quo for what it is because it keeps the economy stable? Okay, you really don't have any race problems, but you know, the thing that you don't have any problem with people of other races, but you okay with the way the things are because it allows you to make your money. It allows you to live your lifestyle. It allows you to have neighborhoods that are comprised in a way that you feel comfortable. And you're really not thinking about the whole race issue and what happens when the Black people move in or when the Hispanics move in or when the Asians move in or when people who don't look like you and think like you move in. Then you get a little upset, a little anxiety kicks in because your world is just changing. So identity politics plays out over there too. It just doesn't play out the same way it plays out in the Democratic Party. And on the left, because in the left we'll find a million different ways to chop up a group of people so that everybody has representation. Sometimes that just it is performative. It's just for show. And then it becomes a real thing. And then everybody like, well, how did we get here? Why is this group pitting itself against this group? We're not thinking about unity. We're not thinking about inclusion. We're thinking about, oh, this person needs to be represented at the table. And then when that person comes to the table and starts upsetting stuff, then we want to try to exclude this group. But we invited them to the table. We split them off to say, oh, you need some attention. There's a lot when it comes to identity politics that we just need to look at. I know me and a potential candidate for a statewide seat were talking just last week. And you can see it already as we are forming up here in Georgia for these statewide races. If a woman has already jumped into the race, you don't see a lot of people talking about jumping in this particular race. But if a man has jumped in, a woman has already jumped in. If that man was white, a Black woman has jumped into it. Not saying that people shouldn't run, but it always gets me why is so-and-so running? And somebody will always say, well, we needed a woman in that race. Do we? Do we? Do we need, and I'm not sticking up for saying that they shouldn't run, but do we? Okay, because you didn't say we needed a more qualified, that person that was running, the person that's in the race now already, we feel like that person isn't qualified, so therefore we're challenging. We're just saying that we want somebody, we want some gender diversity in this campaign. Regardless, it had nothing to do with can this person win this election and represent us from a qualified standpoint in that office. Those are the answers when I say, well, why is so-and-so jumping? Why is so-and-so running? I'm asking this question because I want to know the motivation. And when I hear that, oh, we need a woman or we need the LGBTQ representation, you're not telling me that this person is qualified for the job. You're telling me that they're checking a box. I have no problem voting for them, but tell me, well, we believe that this person is more qualified than this person to run for this seat because of X, Y, and Z. They stand for this policy, this policy, this policy, this policy. This person stands for that policy, that policy, that policy. This person has more experience in this particular field than this person has. The first answer should not be that this person identifies as this. Because that doesn't tell me if they can do the job. It doesn't. I mean, we have to move our thinking processes outside of that box. Should it be something that we talk about? Yes, it should be, because there are places where we need to look at representation from a demographic standpoint, but that shouldn't be the last of it. We need to know where people stand. We need to know what they've done. Because if not, we will continue to get shocked when we find out somebody doesn't believe something that we figure just because, oh, they're a Democrat, they're a woman, they're LGBTQ, but they don't believe in the fight for 15? And that issue is important to you, and you didn't even realize that somebody that you supported or sent money to or whatever didn't even believe in an issue that's like one of your top three issues. You got caught up in identity politics. You got caught up in the craft. You got caught up in a story that was crafted that made you feel like that person had something in common. And obviously at this point you now find out that is not the case. We elected, here in Georgia, the folks of DeKalb County elected Vernon Jones to so many different offices. And the thing is, some of us knew what he believed, but he checked other boxes. And we allowed him to continue to stay in office till he crossed the line and told us who we knew him to be this whole time. We can't afford to just check boxes, people. We got to have substance. We have to have a reason. Don't, then what happens is that we find ourselves in positions. Of disappointment and even rage sometimes. Because we can't continue just to allow We can't allow it. We have way too many things that we need to get done to continue to allow ourselves to vote like children. This is not your high school student government election where we're voting just for the cool and popular kids. These are people who actually wield the power of life and death over them. These are the people who will become city council, who will help, you know, who will make decisions on how we fund law enforcement. How do we serve our seniors? How do we move clean water? How we develop our living spaces. That we talking about people who are going to go to our General Assembly, who are going to vote on laws on whether or not we have Medicaid expansion, our voting rights, how much taxes we pay, how criminals will be punished. These are our congressional delegations. People who are going to go to D.C. and get funding allocated for numerous programs inside of your district that are going to help alleviate poverty, close the income gap, hopefully one day provide us Medicaid for all, protect us against the wackiness of our General Assembly when it comes to trying to suppress our vote. The people who are going to decide how much money we spend globally to maintain this empire. We're talking about the people who will vote for to become our governor, lieutenant governor, you know, state school superintendent, insurance commissioner, ag commissioner, attorney general. Are we just going to leave this up to, oh, these are the cool kids, or this person checks this box? Over 500,000 Americans have died from this pandemic because there was a crazy joker that checked the box. We've seen what inefficient and ineffective government does. People die. We need people who can govern. And who are ready to govern. Not folks who just want to go be elected, take pictures, be at press conferences. But people who are going to sponsor bills, going to go fight. People who are going to be responsive to their constituency. People who have done the work and not just want a title. We need people who we are going to elect to office who are going to not see this seat as a resume builder, but as a chance to serve their fellow human beings. We need more out of our people. So, if you have any feelings about this and what I see, the phones are always open here down south and dirty. The call in number is 563-999-3560. No, y'all, for this morning, y'all probably sleep because you're like, dang, spring forward. You still think it's 9:30. I know my body's thinking it's still 9:30. So let's talk about some of the stuff that's been going on in the world. We can kind of break some of this stuff down. Okay, because remember we spread, like I said, we just this morning was the spring forward. And in actuality, we got people who are actually trying to make laws to deal with this. Now, what purpose does daylight saving time shell? What's the purpose of it? I don't get it. So I'm sitting here because CNN is reporting this morning that a group of bipartisan senators is reintroducing a bill that will make daylight savings time permanent, or what we know as DST. In the United States, where most states observe DST, which starts on the second Sunday in March and ends on the first Sunday in November at 2 a.m., eight out of 8 months of the year and 4 months are standard time. But the Sunshine Protection Act proposed by Republican Senator Marco Rubio calls for not falling back in November instead of enjoying DST year-round. It will not change the current time zone or the number of hours of sunlight. The bill was passed in 2018 in Florida, but in order to go into effect, it requires a change at the federal level. 15 other states, including California, voted to make daylight savings time permanent in 2018, and Washington did the same thing in 2019. The call to end the antiquated practice of clock changing is gaining momentum throughout the nation. Not everybody observes the tradition in the U.S. Hawaii and Arizona don't. The five major American territories, American Samoa, Guam, and the Marianas, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands don't observe. In a recent statement, Rubio cited multiple benefits to extending DST, which includes the reducing the number of car accidents, America's experience and help reduce the risk of seasonal depression. It says the legislation will give families more stability throughout the year. Senator, Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts echoed Rubio's highlight of the benefits of extending EST. He said the studies found year-round daylight savings time would improve public health, public safety, and mental health. Especially important during this cold, dark COVID winter. Markey said in a statement, adding that he's a proud sponsor of the Sunshine Protection Act, which will add an extra hour of sunshine for a cool 365 days a year. That's interesting. I mean, they want to change out daylight savings time. And I guess, I mean, I would like to see how that works because I'm not getting it. Okay, now we got, you know, spring break is coming in, and you know, we're getting to this position where we are, you know, folks are getting vaccinated and whatnot, but folks are going outside, spending time together. And this is one of the reasons I believe that President Biden is moving to giving different guidelines, the administration giving different guidelines on who eligible to receive the vaccine so that we can get more vaccines and more arms so we can get closer to, you know, everybody can get their one-shot dose or their double doses and getting to a point where we got enough people to shot that we can kind of open back up safely. But we're still a week into a lot of states like Texas and Mississippi opening up that we need to watch and see if there are going to be any spikes. And we always have a little, we've had spikes. You know, every time there's been an opening up or a holiday or whatever. And this is the first spring break that we know what's going on. Because last year's spring break time, we was in lockdown. So we don't know. All we know is when we opened up for Memorial Day weekend and 4th of July, we had spikes 2 weeks after that. So we're going to be watching. We got some weather coming through the country this week. So let's be prepared as the week goes on that you got winter storm warnings that are moving through the mountains. That so that's going to be, look like, affecting the Northern Plains. I won't know if it's going to affect us here in Georgia or not. We'll probably get some rain toward the end of the week. And it's been so nice after having such a, you know, winter. It was a little cold here, not as cold as it could be. But, I mean, hey, it is nice to have warm weather, to let down the sunroof, get some fresh air. You know, be able to get outside and just after a winter where we've been kind of stuck inside together. And a lot of us, you know, a lot of people toward this end of this pandemic have gotten sicker and had to spend time inside. And I actually think that it's good for us to spend time outside. You know, it diffuses some of the craziness that goes on around us. It's just that it's just good to be outside. But we're probably going to see some rain this way toward the end of this week. And that's a good thing because it's about time to start looking at planting and this type of stuff, getting the flower beds set up. This is a good weekend to go do that. Yeah, go outside, do something. And as y'all notice, yeah, I'm trying to beat time because I don't beat this horse with this identity politics thing. So this is not going to be a long show tonight at all. So, and I see nobody's calling in. The folks are probably still asleep because they don't just spring forward and them shut you down. They got you messed up. So we understand that. I did not receive this story. So Biden tries to reach out to the North Koreans. They don't want to talk. Kim Jong-un is heartbroken. He don't got no trophy to play with. Oh, he don't want to talk to the Biden. That's all it is. Kim Jong-un heartbroken. He don't want to talk to Biden because Biden ain't gonna make him feel like Trump made him feel. Oh, and the Oscars nomination will be announced Monday. Well, this is going to be interesting because Netflix movies can now be considered for Oscars. Ooh, that's going to be interesting. Yeah, I probably like, Scott, really sit here talking about this type of stuff? And I'm just trying to make it to a quarter to you, and then we're going to shut it down because really there ain't nothing else to talk about. It really isn't. In Myanmar, they're going to be holding the hearings for their ousted civilian leader. You know, that really tripped me out how that country just, Myanmar, known as Burma, that country there has to be probably the least
stable of out of all of the Southeast Asian countries. Because it's all their military just does not play the radio when it comes to trying for democracy. They do all kinds of extra. There's a whole ethnic minority being doggone ran out of the country. But then we're talking about democracy. But we're not even thinking about how they've got a government that is committing genocide against the Rangars. The Rangar, whatever. And we're worried about this country being able to have a democratically elected leader, but this democratically elected leader has been at the helm of a government that has been committing genocide. It's complicated, people. It's really complicated. Maybe we'll get deeper into that story on another show. Okay, somebody's going to have to bring me up to speed because obviously I have just been out of the loop. What are we going after the governor of California for? Are they really trying to recall this man because he shut down California? Wow. I'm reading this story right now, people. I'm sorry for the dead air, but I'm reading this story because like I said, certain things have been out of the loop. But this is interesting. Wow. 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 That is interesting. They're trying to recall this man because he shut down their state. Oh my God, they lose their money, so it's like foul. This is wild. Well, people, it's been a blast this morning. My computer just told me it is going to do an update on 14-day. And that's going to last about an hour and a half. Did not see that coming. So I guess we're having another short DSD. Nothing says that I have to use all this time. But I felt like I need to come talk to y'all this morning. Y'all think about how y'all make y'all choice of choosing your leader. Because it's important that we get good people in office and stop electing people because they make us feel excited. And all this other extra stuff that they do. It's because at the end of the day, it does nothing for us. But this is Down South and Dirty, and we're out. Peace.